SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Vous êtes avec SBS French.
I'm joined by investigative journalist and filmmaker Alan Clark, producer of The Boraville Murders. The film is premiering at the Sydney Film Festival this weekend. Alan, it is said that your film shines the light on the systemic racism inside Australia's justice system.
The Boraville Murders documentary follows the families of Colleen, Clinton and Evelyn, who were who went missing in the early 90s and then were found murdered shortly after. And the families have been fighting for justice for 30 years, trying to put someone behind bars for their murder. It is a story that not only looks at the cases, but also looks at why the justice system ignored these families and why they're still in court trying to get justice.
And this has been going on for more than 30 years, and the movie retells the process, the investigations, botched investigation, I would even say.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt if you look back at those early investigations when Colleen, Clinton and Evelyn first went missing, it would be fair to call them lax or botched. The fact is these families went to the police to report their children missing, and they were told that, you know, maybe these kids went walkabout because the families were Aboriginal. And, you know, it's hard not to look back on how they were treated and infer that there was some institutionalized racism at play. The fact that these were black kids, their families weren't taken seriously. If you watch the film, you'll understand that that set in motion a series of events that would mean the families still weren't being listened to by authorities right up until, you know, 30 years later. Later on in the investigation, there was Detective Gary Giblin. He came on around 10 years after the children were found murdered, and he was appalled at the families of treatment by the New South Wales police in the beginning. So he joined those families to try and right this wrong, and he called out the police, even though he was a detective, which is extremely rare. And so he called out the behaviour by the police and admitted that, well, if these children were white, these cases would have been resolved much earlier.
Yeah, and this has been brought to light again. I mean, this happened some 30 years ago, and still today the same questions are being asked, because recently we had the case of Cleo Smith, who made the news in the last few weeks, quickly found, and yet First Nations kids make up a large proportion of children who go missing. It's said that almost 20% of missing children aged between 13 and 17 are Indigenous, and these cases, most of the time, are unresolved.
Absolutely. This is something that's been happening in Australia for, you know, well, if we think back to colonisation, and in fact, our film explores that notion, why Aboriginal children less likely to receive resources from authorities, less media attention, and it can be traced right back to the treatment of Aboriginal people, from the beginning of colonisation. This is a triple murder of three children in a small town in New South Wales. You think the whole country would know Colleen, Clinton and Evelyn's name, but unfortunately not many people do, yet people know who William Tyrrell is, Daniel Morcombe, or Cleo Smith now. But I think that a lot to do with the fact that they were non-Indigenous. And it's really horrible to have to compare, you know, murder victims or missing or victims of crime based on their ethnicity, but you know, they're all tragedies. But unfortunately, in Australia, it seems that, you know, unless you are kind of you are a white child, then your family is going to struggle to get the attention they need. And so this has been happening for a very long time. And even as I mentioned there, Detective Gary Jubelin, when he was working the case of Colleen Clinton and Evelyn, he would, to get media interested to even write something or report on it, he would omit the fact that they were Indigenous children, because he knew that if he said they were Indigenous, there'd be less interest. And that's kind of sums up, I guess, the attitude within the country.
And now you've been living in France for some time now. Do people you come across in France or elsewhere in Europe know this side of Australia, a country with a two-speed justice system?
Yeah, I've been in France for a couple of years now, and now that I'm overseas, you know, most French people are kind of stunned when I kind of tell them about Australia and just the day-to-day life and the reality of the inequity between Indigenous people and non-Indigenous people. Because, I mean, France, like the rest of the world, has for many years been fed a kind of narrative from Australia that it is a carefree country, that it is, you know, it's all about the sun and the beach and kind of, you know, blonde hair, blue-eyed, kind of muscular men and women on the beach, and it's a young country and it's free. But what people fail to have, you know, kind of realize is the treatment of you know, Aboriginal people, and the reality of that. When I speak to people here in France, they kind of, you know, their idea of what Aboriginal people are or our culture is a very stereotypical kind of view of that, which is, you know, dancing ceremony and, you know, speaking this interesting language, but they don't understand the kind of actual day-to-day life of how Aboriginal people are treated by the Australian government, and, you know, the high rates of issues within our community. So it's interesting to actually speak to foreigners and have them kind of reflect what our Australian government and the Australian media have been putting out for years about, you know, let's not talk about this stuff internationally. But I think there is much more of a conversation recently around, say, Black Lives Matter, around social justice issues, particularly amongst young people here in Europe and America. And, you know, people are educating themselves a lot more. And, you know, I think that the facade of what Australia has been putting out for years, which is hiding all of these kind of dirty little secrets from the international community, are coming to light, and people are finding out about it and are horrified by it. So I think, you know, there is a renewed interest in social justice with young people around the world, and that's really interesting to see.
In a conversation with a colleague of mine from NITV, you mentioned that as an Aboriginal man, you understand the situation, but someone from, because when you see this happening, you very quickly pick up what's going on, but someone from a non-Indigenous background wouldn't understand what's going on at all and wouldn't even believe it.
You're right. And so I think that's why it's important to make films like this, The Barrowville Murders, because it offers context, it offers history, it shows you, you know, for years I was following the Barrowville Murders case and I was reporting on it. I was a journalist for many years. And, you know, I would tell people and say, you know, Colleen Clinton and Evelyn were murdered. They all went missing from the same street within 6 months, were found murdered very close by. The police did nothing in the beginning. You know, it's so hard for some people to believe that. And so what I wanted to do is ensure with this film is actually show you about how this institutionalized racism impacts Aboriginal people and do it in a solid way that people can't refute it and can't turn away and say, you know, that doesn't exist in this country. That's, you know, that can't be true. And So I think it's important that we have, films that lay that out and show you just how that exists. Because the reality for us blackfellas is very different from the rest of, the people in the country. And so I think, people who've watched this film walk away with a greater understanding, and they've told me and they go, I just cannot believe that, this has been happening. Say some people who live around Barrowville hadn't even heard of it. And then suddenly they watch this and they go, oh my God, like I feel ashamed.
It's really shocking, and I invite people to go and watch it tomorrow. And where is it available? Is it only at the Sydney Film Festival, or where can people view this film after the festival? Is it available everywhere? Where is it? Where can people see it? Yeah.
Look, I would really encourage everyone to get along to the Sydney Film Festival, because, we made this film cinematically, and I think it's best viewed on the big screen at Dendy. It'll be playing at Dendy on Saturday. And then afterwards, people can watch it on SBS On Demand as part of the Australia Uncovered series. So it'll still have a life after, which is great.
Anything we haven't covered you'd like to add for our listeners?
I'll add this, is that, Colleen Clinton and Evelyn's families are just incredibly resilient. Their strength is just so admirable. They're surrounded by so much tragedy. They deserve justice after all these years. And I would hope that, the Barrowville Murders film and the conversation around it would entice people to come forward and potentially offer any information they know about the case. It might just take one person coming forward to be able to get them back in, get the families back in court and try and put someone behind bars for this.
Alan Clark, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Aimez, partagez, commentez. Suivez-nous sur facebook.com/sbsfrench.